All right. Well, hey, everyone. It is awesome to see you today. See some of you coming back for the first time. We missed you. So just want to welcome all who are gathered here today, those who are watching online. It is a holiday weekend, Labor Day weekend, and is anybody glad today to be in the house of the Lord? Because we have a very special morning for you today. We have a very special message for you. But before we get into that, I do want to invite everybody back next week. We are beginning a brand new series on the book of Joshua. Be strong and courageous. And I love the book of Joshua because Joshua is all about moving forward into the promises of God, being strong and courageous as we follow Jesus. So I couldn't be more excited about what God's going to do in this series. Really, September, October, studying Joshua together. And I just believe this book is going to help us move forward into the incredible future that God has for every one of us here today. Like, God is moving, God is working. We only need be strong and courageous and trust His promises. So that's a series coming up, and just really excited about that. But as for today, got a special message. And really today is about making a declaration. It's about making a declaration that can change your life. And this declaration comes right from Scripture. So if you have your Bible or a Bible app, why don't you open it up to 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4. And this whole section is really all about living for God. So we're in a section of Scripture all about living for God. I want to live for God. And there's a declaration in this passage in verse 2 that I want to show you. And I'm going to be looking at the ESV today. Now, we're normally in the NIV. But when I'm spending time with the Lord in the morning, I'm in the ESV. And so this is something that jumped out to me just as I was studying Scripture in my time with the Lord. And it's something I want to share with you. But I want to highlight two words in verse 2, because this is going to be our declaration today. It's in the ESV, and it's these two words, no longer. Powerful declaration, right? No longer. Let me hear you say no longer.
No.
Yeah, say it with some gusto, you know, no longer. No. Yeah, hope you all shouted at home too. Now this is powerful. See, when you say no longer, we're going to read this passage in just a minute. It is a powerful thing. I want to set this up for us today. Some of you, some of the kids in this room, maybe you've had a conversation with your parents about can you do something, and you've had that moment where you've said, Mom, Dad, I am no longer a child. You guys ever heard that or said that? It's like, boom, declaration. Drawing a line in the sand, no longer. One time I was at McDonald's, and that was my first problem, but I was eating these gnarly chicken McNuggets. I don't know if you've ever had that nugget where you're like chewing on it, and you're like, that's not chicken. Kind of gross. And I remember eating this gnarly chicken McNugget and just saying, I am no longer going to McDonald's. And I didn't go to McDonald's for a long, long time. It's a declaration, no longer, making a change. Before Angie and I got married, we had the privilege of doing some premarital counseling at our home church, Good Shepherd Church, with Chuck and Mary Jo Larson. And it was this older couple, these old saints of God, and guys, we were so young. And I would highly recommend premarital counseling for anybody who's thinking about getting married. But, Angie is in college, she's 19 years old, I had just graduated from college. We're young, but we get the gold star from our premarital counseling, and we got the blessing from our parents. And so on June 3rd, 2000, best day of my life, got to marry my high school sweetheart. Pretty awesome. But guys, I don't know if you know this, I don't know if you ever thought about this, but when you get married, things kind of change. You know? Like, you got to take responsibility for yourself. Like, you got to shower, you know, change your underwear sometimes. Like, you know what I'm talking about, right, ladies? You got to step up a little bit, right? And guys, I had no idea. And so 6 months into our marriage, we're back in the counseling office with Chuck and Mary Jo Larson. And this is our six-month checkup, and we're just checking in, you know, seeing how things are going, and like, oh, how's marriage going 6 months in? And I'm like, it is awesome. I love it. Marriage is the best. And then they ask Angie. You guys are already laughing. So they're like, Angie, how's first 6 months of marriage? And she's like, oh, she's like, let me tell you. My husband, he's with his friends all the time. They're playing video games at night, and he's not coming home until 2 in the morning. And I didn't know what the problem was. I was like, you know, like, that's what we do. That's what guys do. You stay up late, you play video games, you eat lots of Cheetos. And I'm thinking, I'm just going to get married, and I'm going to keep doing that. Well, let me tell you, there was a very, like, I don't know if you've ever seen, like, an 80-year-old woman get livid. Mary Jo Larson looks me in the eye and says, it is time to take responsibility for yourself. You are no longer a bachelor. I was like, oh man, no, that was it. I was done with all my video game ways. See, when you're single, it's kind of cool because you come and go as you please. Your schedule's your own, your money's your own. How many of you know when you get married, it changes, right? You're no longer single. You have one job when you're married, and that's to say, honey, how can I love and serve you today? That's it. That's all you get to do. Life changes. You make a declaration. No longer. So today, it's going to be a little bit like that. We're saying no longer to the past, and we're declaring change and transformation in our life. And for some of you today, this is going to be a day where you say goodbye to your life before Jesus and what you used to do. And you're going to say a confident yes to your life with Jesus and all that he has for you to do. It's a powerful moment. And let me just tell you, there is no sadness in saying goodbye to the past. I am not sad to see single Brian go. No sadness there. Got an amazing wife, beautiful kids. And it's because there was a moment where I drew a line in the sand and I declared, no longer. So today is really about declaring no longer to a life without Jesus and saying yes to a life with Jesus. And whether you have a church background, whether you don't have a church background, I'm going to give you 3 powerful declarations that can change your life. And they all begin with the words, no longer, and they're all from our passage right here in 1 Peter chapter 4. These are declarations any of us can make today. So let's read this passage. 1 Peter 4, verses 1 through 6, we're going to see 3 declarations, beginning with this word, no longer, in verse 2. This is what Peter writes. Since, therefore, Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking, for whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer human passions, but for the will of God. This is about living for God. For the time that has passed suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. But they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is why the gospel was preached even to those who are dead, that though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does. All right, let's pray, and then we'll look at those declarations right from this passage. You can even leave it open. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you that we get to come and worship you. You are a holy, holy God. And even today, Lord, you are filling the earth with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And we just love the fact that we get to be here and we get to worship you. And Father, I pray today that you would do a work in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. God, help us to make declarations like no longer so that we can move forward into the life that you've called us to live. So help us today as we study your word. We ask for your presence. We ask for your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're looking at three declarations here from Scripture that can change your life. 1 Peter 4, 1 through 6. Here's the first declaration. Number one, no longer will I think like everyone thinks. I'm not going to think anymore the same way everyone around me is thinking. I'm not going to think the way the world thinks. I want the mind of Christ. No longer will I think like everyone thinks. That's a powerful declaration that'll change your life. I was just thinking about sports, and if you've ever done sports or you've been involved in some sort of competition, you know the importance of mental toughness. And I love this because I hear my wife instilling it into my children, and the kind of the word she uses is hard is not bad. And that's what she's saying to our kids. She keeps telling them, hard is not bad, because that mental toughness is so important. And if you've ever done sports, you know that. What is mental toughness? Mental toughness is the ability, when it's getting hard, to not give up, right? A mentally tough person doesn't quit, and they don't give in or give up when their back is against the wall. And if you've ever played sports, you know the power of mental toughness. I just think about, you know, when I played sports, and I remember seeing players get frustrated. And maybe, you know, in a tennis match, you see the player pick up the tennis racket and they chuck it against the chains or the net and they're all flustered. You playing football, you see the guy take off their football helmet and slam it on the ground. And whenever I would see that as a player, I knew they were already losing the battle, because they were losing the battle in their mind. We need mental toughness. Mental toughness is about fighting the fight, not giving up. And as Christians, we don't give up. We don't give in. Right? We think differently. And that's what 1 Peter is talking about here today. Look at 1 Peter 4:1. It says, since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. It's talking about our thinking. Arm yourself with the same way Jesus was thinking. Don't think like everyone else. Think like Jesus. Jesus suffered in the flesh. This takes us back to a great verse, a verse I memorized years ago. 1 Peter 3:18. I hope you know it. It says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. That's our Jesus. Jesus never gave up. He never quit. He never gave in. You could beat him. You could mock him. You could spit in his face, put the crown of thorns on his head, nail his hands and feet to a cross. He never gave up. He was relentless. Why? What does it say? It says to bring us to God. Do you understand that Jesus never gave up on you? He never gave in. He never quit on you. Even when we were far from God, right? No matter what our past was, right? He was the righteous one who gave his life for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, even being put to the death in the flesh. He fought through the pain. He fought through the suffering. He died on a cross so that our sins could be forgiven and so that we could have a real relationship with God. That's why Jesus died, because he loved you and he gave his life for you on a cross. That's the mind of Christ. And what the Bible says, and this is powerful. You guys heard the word repentance? Literally means change your mind. And so when we begin to change our thinking about Jesus, our whole life begins to change. We say, you know, I'm going to change how I think about Jesus. I'm going to trust in Jesus. I'm going to surrender my life to Jesus Christ and follow him. And when you change your way of thinking, it changes your life. I love 1 Peter 4:1. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. Did you hear that? Arm yourselves. That's military language, isn't it? Arm yourselves like a soldier going into a battle, like an athlete going into a competition. Arm yourself for the battles that you are facing, right, with the mind of Jesus Christ. Arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. And it goes on to say, why? What's why? It says, for whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Right? That's the transformation God's doing in our life. He's bringing us to a place of holiness and wholehearted love for Christ so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. I'm going to live my life for God. It's that declaration. So how do we get the mental toughness to say no to sin and to say yes to living for Jesus? How do we arm ourselves with the strength to get up in the morning, to pray, study God's word? How do we overcome peer pressure or temptations? How do we stand up for Jesus Christ? How do we win the battles in the mind? Maybe it's thoughts of fear or worry or anxiety. How do we win the battles in our minds? So to live our life for Jesus Christ. You know, some of the biggest challenges we face are right here in our minds. And I think it's we look to Jesus and we make this declaration, no longer am I going to think like everyone else thinks. I'm going to renew my mind in Jesus and God's word. And I'm going to change the way that I think about the word. I'm going to have the mindset of an overcomer and a champion. I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus. That's the power of this declaration. No longer will I think like everyone else. I'm going to change my thoughts, change my life. That leads us to our second declaration. Number two, no longer will I act like everyone else. No longer will I think like everyone else. Number two, no longer will I act like everyone else. And I was thinking about a friend of mine that I grew up in high school with this guy, and he and I took very different paths in life. I became a pastor, and he became a millionaire, so a little bit different there. But we both have one thing in common. We're both Christians, and we both want to take the one life that we've been given. We want to live it for Jesus Christ. But this friend of mine, he's quite the entrepreneur. I don't know if you've ever met that entrepreneur type. He's always looking for that next thing, that new thing, and that's how he made his millions. And he was excited to try to get onto some sort of a reality TV show. And a couple that he was trying out for was Suddenly Rich and Blue Collar Millionaire. I've never heard of these shows, but he was trying to get on these reality shows. And of course, there's an application and an interview process, and He applies, and then he gets to some interviews, and for one of the shows, he gets to the very third, he gets to like a third interview, and he's sitting down across the table with somebody from one of these shows about, you know, millionaires, and they start asking him about his house. Like, hey, what kind of house do you live in? They're asking about his car. You know, what kind of car do you drive? And he's like, an old Honda. You know, and they're like, well, what about your wife? You know, does she buy lots of jewelry or love purses? And he's like, no. And he was like, the interview was instantly over. Because what they were looking for and what America wants to see is not millionaires. What America wants to see is the million-dollar lifestyle with the houses and the swimming pools and the dream cars and the spending sprees. And here's my friend who's just like, who's a millionaire, and yet he wasn't living the millionaire lifestyle. He had chosen to live his life differently, to live it as a Christian, right? To not live for money and things. And I just want us to think about our lives. What would it look like for us to not live the way everyone else lives? She was pretty shocked when she found out about how he was living his life. See, I would just encourage you today, guys, don't be surprised as Christians when the world is shocked with how we live our lives. That's what Peter says next in 1 Peter 4:3. He says, for the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. You just look at the list there as he lists out, you know, some of the things going on in the world, and he lists the drinking and the parties and drugs and sensuality and sexuality. And I think we all know believers who've come out of this scene, and they tell their story, and they just begin to say, you know, I wrecked my life. I wasted my life. So many years were lost doing these things. And I just want to challenge us today. Don't waste your life. Right? Your life is the greatest gift that God has given you. And your life is too precious to spend it in front of a screen all day. Your marriage or your future marriage, it is too precious to look at internet pornography. Maybe for you today, living the way the Gentiles do is throwing yourself into your work in a way where you're compromising your family and your faith. Maybe it's throwing your family into activities in a way that you're compromising your family and your faith. See, Peter's saying, we've had enough time living the way the world has lived. It's time to live our lives for Jesus Christ. I'm not living for the world anymore. How are people going to respond, though, when we make that declaration? How's the world going to respond when we don't affirm everything the world affirms? 1 Peter 4:4. With respect to this, they're surprised. Shocked. I can't believe that. They're surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. So when we live our lives for Jesus Christ, I'm not living the way the world lives anymore. I'm going to live for Jesus. The world is going to be surprised. And when we don't join them, they're going to be disappointed. And then it says, and they malign you. There's anger. There's contempt. Are you kidding? Why wouldn't you do this? See, if we're going to live for Christ, we have to wrap our minds around the fact that the world is not always going to understand or appreciate what we're trying to do. And you may have some friends who say, you know what? I am no longer your friend. You may have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and you just discover we're not going the same direction here. People are going to be shocked and surprised when we live our lives wholeheartedly for Jesus Christ. And some will, right, malign us. Some will be disappointed. Some will be shocked. But I also know there's going to be others, friends, family members, coworkers. And they're going to see your life. They're going to see your passion for Christ. And they're going to begin to go, why is this person so different? And it's such an opportunity to say, you know what, Jesus changed my life, and he can change your life. I'm not going to live my life the way everybody else is living their lives. I'm not going to think the way that everybody else is thinking. I want to live for Christ. I want to live for God. These are declarations that are going to change our lives. Last one, and I think this is where this is building, and it's just so important. Last one. No longer will I care what everyone else thinks of me. Because we're not going to be able to do number one and two if we don't do number three. And guys, this is such a struggle. It's a struggle for me. And I just think as long as we're worried about what other people think of us, we're always going to be held back from living our lives for Christ. We're not going to have the courage to think differently or live differently. I just think if we're so afraid of being judged by people because we're a Christian, we have to remember whose opinion matters most. Because there's only one opinion in the entire world that actually matters. And I want us to think about it this way, guys. Ultimately, there's only one opinion that matters. Ultimately, there's only one judge, and his name is Jesus. Guys, Jesus is our judge. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There's only one voice in the world that matters. There's only one opinion that matters, and it's Jesus's. Now, I know we talk about the judgment seat of Christ, right? It's not popular. It's not comfortable. It's a very serious topic. But when you understand who is your judge, it begins to set you free from what other people think of you. Listen, Peter reminds us, 1 Peter 4, 5. This is so important. Talking about those who are living for themselves, maligning Christians. This is what Peter says. He reminds us that God is the final judge. 1 Peter 4, 5. But they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. There is a judgment coming. Judgment is coming for every one of us. We all have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed for man to die once. After that comes judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And so let me just ask, whose opinion matters most? More than anybody else in the world. Isn't it Jesus? Isn't it Jesus? Jesus is my judge. And you guys, I'm so glad Jesus is my judge because I know who Jesus is. And Jesus is a merciful judge. Jesus is the one who bore my judgment, forgave me, and set me free. And so I know whose opinion matters most of all. Peter goes on, 1 Peter 4, 6. For this is why the gospel was preached even to those who are dead, that though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way that God does. And so Peter's talking about how in this world we are often judged by others, this being judged in the flesh the way people are. And he says that's why the gospel was preached. To those, even those who have now moved on to be with Jesus, so that we might live in the Spirit the way God does. I think what Peter's showing us is that there's going to be a judgment someday. There will be a judgment for sin. God's going to hold every one of us accountable for the way we've treated God, for the way we've treated others. If God overlooked sin and injustice, would God be a good God? Absolutely not. He cannot overlook sin and injustice. And yet all of us are guilty. Right? We all fall short. We've all gone our own way. And that's why I love Jesus. That's why the gospel was preached to every one of us. It's why we as a church are passionate about preaching the gospel to people who are far from God. Because 1 Peter 3:18, Christ suffered once for sin. Not because I'm righteous. No, it was the righteous for the unrighteous. He died for me in my sins. He took my place. He bore my judgment. Why? So that I could be forgiven and have a real relationship with God. And so I know who my judge is. He gave his life for me. And I want to hear him someday say, well done, good and faithful servant, because I lived my life for him. So these are three powerful declarations. And then we'll just end it here with a little picture to make it clear. Tonight I'm asking every one of us, today, I'm asking every one of us to make three powerful declarations. Number one, I'm not going to think the way everyone else thinks. I want the mind of Christ. Number two, I'm not going to act the way everyone else acts. I'm going to live my life for Jesus. And number three, I'm not going to care what anyone else thinks of me because I know who's matters most. But I just want you to know this. If you make these declarations today, you can say goodbye to a normal life. You can say goodbye to being an average, ordinary person. Right? We're going to be different. There was a great interview, and I'll just end with this, with a drummer named Travis Barker. And for those of you who don't know who Travis Barker is, he's the drummer for Blink 182, and he's considered to be one of the greatest drummers of all time. But if you ever see a picture of Travis, he is covered from head to toe in tattoos. Like, they are everywhere. He is like tats all over the place. And there was an interviewer who was talking to Travis, and he just wanted to ask about all these tattoos, because really, like, they're just everywhere. And the interviewer said, "Travis, why do you have tattoos all over your body, especially in such obvious places?" And I loved Travis's response. It was just amazing. He said, "I started to get tattoos. The reason I started putting tattoos in obvious places is because I wanted to make sure that I could never get a normal job." Isn't that interesting? He crossed a line, point of no return. No longer am I going to be like everyone else. I'm writing it in ink. I can never be a normal person. And that's what Jesus is inviting us to do today, to say, no longer. No longer drawing that line in the sand. I'm committing my life to Jesus Christ, to living for him. I'm not going to think like everyone else thinks. I'm not going to act like everyone else acts. I'm not going to care what anyone thinks about me. My life belongs to him. And when you make that declaration, I can guarantee one thing. You will never be normal. You will be an anomaly, yes. Courageous, yes. An inspiration, yes. But normal, not a chance. So let's not waste our lives doing what other people do. Let's live them for Jesus Christ. That's my challenge for us today. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you that we can gather in Jesus' name. We're just reminded this morning of the powerful truth that you are on the throne. You reign over all things. You are our judge. You are our redeemer. You are our savior. All of our lives are headed in the direction of you. And so today we come and we ask you, God, to change our lives, transform us, free us from the things that hold us back so we can live our lives wholeheartedly for Jesus Christ. So as we close today in worship, I pray that we would not be held back even by what people might think of us in this room. Help us to let go of all of that and to just say yes to you today. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, God. We can't do this on our own. Transform our lives. Help us to say no longer to the things of this world. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's worship. Let's stand. I just want to encourage you. We don't say this enough. It doesn't matter what anyone in this room thinks about you right now. It's just one audience of one. It's us and it's Jesus. And I want to encourage you right now to worship Jesus.